Hello, everyone. Let me get everything going over here. Why this little camera always seems to turn on me. So I am wearing the Blow Your Own Damn Mind shirt today. A little bit more casual than usual, but I have a purpose behind wearing it, y'all. One of the reasons why I wanted to wear this shirt today is to remind you that we have Don't Stop Believing open right now. A lot of you are writing in, and I don't mind if you guys write in. Please write in. If you need us to help talk you off the fence, if you need to post in the Facebook group about your fears and your anxieties and your worries, please do so. So don't take this the wrong way. But one of the things I wanted to talk about this morning is, so many of you are sitting on the fence because you're afraid. You're just afraid you can't do it. And I want y'all to be thinking about the opportunity to blow your own mind. I think one of the things that stops y'all in weight loss, and the reason why we do Don't Stop Believing, has nothing to do with, you know, if you exercise more, you'll lose weight, which is kind of weird because I do believe if you exercise, it helps your weight loss, but it's not because it helps your weight loss in calories. It's because it is an opportunity for you to prove to yourself that you can do things when you don't want to, that you can follow a plan. It's to show that there are fears and anxieties that you have around your body. Like for me, when I first started exercising, I had so much fear and anxiety about walking into the gym. I was just like filled with shame over how I looked. Like all the shame. And when I look back, I just want to hug the version of me that was brave. Like for me, when I talk about exercise facilitates your weight loss, it has more to do with the thinking about yourself that changes because of it. I was out for a walk this morning and I was sitting there thinking about, inside of Don't Stop Believing, I'm giving every participant a daily podcast. They're getting a very small motivational fire podcast. They're, you know, about 5 to 10 minutes. And as I was walking, I was thinking about, all right, like, what do I want to say in the next few that I'm going to record? And one of the things that I got to thinking about was how much I love that I take the time to move my body. Because number one, as a survivor of depression, that is one of the ways that I move in order to burn off the chemicals in my body that lead to stress, anxiety, worry, and depression. Like it is just a proven fact in science that people who have anxiety, depression, and types like things like that, that when they move their body, it is it helps their body burn the chemicals off so that they're not just like residue in your body all day long dictating the show. Let me bring Coach Betsy up real quick. There we go. The other thing is it allows me time to think. It allows me time to sit and listen to what I'm thinking about and then purposely changing my mind. So I was like walking this morning and thinking about like, what is just naturally coming up for me today? What are my natural worries? What are my natural things that like where my brain is wanting to go? And when I'm walking and I'm not just listening to podcasts or music, because I like to spend a little time walking silently and just letting myself think, it lets me have a period where I can purposefully redirect my brain. So that over time, it's easier for me to redirect my brain when I am distracted. And I think that this is important for all of you, whether you join us for Don't Stop Believing or not, it's that you need a little space in order to lose your weight to where you hear the thoughts that automatically pop up in your mind. We all need that. And the better you get at listening for what the automatic thinking you have is, the more you are opening yourself up to be able to take authority over it. We're doing a lot of teaching right now inside of No BS, and it's going to continue next month. We're going to be doing Conquering the Scale next month. So for all of you that have fear around weighing in, worrying about your weight and all that stuff. I am the reason why I'm dressed so casual today is because Corinne is finishing all of the content today for that course and recording it the end of this week. But one of the key components that I'm teaching in there that we're going to be using inside of Don't Stop Believing is the idea about listening to what your automatic thinking is and learning how to compassionately change the conversation over time. Most of you, what ends up happening is we teach you how to turn the volume up on your automatic thinking. Then you judge the fuck out of it like a crazy person. And then you wonder why, like when you judge it, you feel gross about your thinking. You wonder why you don't want to journal. You wonder why you don't want to work on your thoughts. But then you're pissed that your thoughts are never changing. And so inside of Conquering the Scale and inside of Don't Stop Believing, we're really working and doubling down on turning up the volume in such a way where you feel empowered to start thinking new things so that you start changing who you are in your own perceptions. So I was thinking about, you know, that version of me that went to the gym, full of shame, scared to death she'd never lose her weight. Like I drug all that shit in there with me and I walked in anyway. And that is what exercise taught me. Exercise really taught me how to be a version of me that I didn't want to be, but also think about the version of me that I was going to create and be both of them at the same time. It taught me how to love my body. And now in my 40s, turning 48 this year. Every time I say my 40s, I'm like, girl, you're on the other side now, which is, I honestly can't wait for my 50s. I'm going to have an amazing 50th birthday party. I'm going to make 50s will be the new 20 or whatever, however they say it. So, but one of the things that I think about is these days I use exercise as a way to really tune into what my body needs. You know, I grinded hard in my 30s. I didn't always listen to my body. I allowed myself to push myself too hard. I didn't learn how to strike that balance. And in my 40s, especially in the last couple of years, I have really learned how to take exquisite care of my body because I've started paying more attention to what my body needs in my 40s. It needed a walk today. I needed to think. I didn't want to push myself hard today. I wanted to think hard today. I wanted my legs to get some recovery so that they could feel good. I have a long day of work ahead of me full of content. I didn't want to go into it wore out. I didn't want to go into it overworked. And this is the beautiful thing about Don't Stop Believing is we are going to be teaching you all this mindset stuff. So for all of you, you know, consider joining us. The early bird special, it ends. Early bird pricing ends on April 15th. So there's not much time left to join. We are in the very beginning of training. You are not behind if you jump in at all. You've got me and Coach Jane. If you have any questions in the Facebook group, you can ask them inside of our private Don't Stop Believing Facebook group. We'll help you. We have a lot of seasoned walkers, a lot of seasoned runners in there and Don't Stop Believing. If you have questions, I know we'll get them answered. We also had a bonus call today drop for everyone in the membership. I have a passion for our members who feel like they are too overweight to do this, or that they are too old to do this and have physical pain as their number one roadblock to joining us. I watched my grandmother go downhill so fast in her 70s, simply because she never was an exerciser. She lost her mobility. My grandmother should have lived 20 more years. I've watched my mom suffer for a long time because my mom was not an exerciser with physical pain. I have just seen it on all sides of my family. My only living grandmother, She's on a cane and has a hunchback because she's never been one to move her body. She just sits all the time. And you'll hear in my bonus podcast today that I dropped for the entire membership, I brought in a coach, Susie Hatley. She is an expert in the field of kinesiology, yoga, and pain movement. And she and I have a really good conversation about how to get over the fear of it, how motion is lotion for joints and stuff. So if that's you, please listen. The video and the podcast drop today. So Private Member Podcast, it's there. It's my conversation with Susie Hatley. It's also in the video replays. Please listen to it. And then she's coming back inside of Don't Stop Believing, and she's going to be doing an entire workshop on moving with pain and how to go from pain to possibility with movement. So I just wanted to add that bonus in for everyone because, you know, as we get older, we're going to have some joint issues and stuff, but that doesn't mean that we can't keep improving. And she does such a beautiful job of explaining that. All right. Let's, so just so everybody knows, this is Q&A. If you have questions, just drop them into the question and answers box right now. I'm going to start answering some questions in a minute. We also have Trusting Your Body going on this month. I just wanted to make sure everybody knows that on Mondays, Coach Jane is doing bonus calls about how to use the tools of the program. And on Saturdays, our coaches are taking you live through the worksheets if you'd like to go through the worksheets with them. On this Saturday's Trusting Your Body worksheet call, it's all about how does this make sense? And that will be Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Time. And you're going to learn how to check in with your body's signals of like, what is my body trying to tell me? And how to understand the different emotional states that lead us to want to overeat. So you can go to the No BS training calendar to find out that call, plus all other calls that we offer you guys. And then don't forget, next month, y'all get your brains, because this month we wanted to talk about trusting your body to set us up for next month to learn how to weigh in like a boss. So it's conquering the scale. I want to help all of you get over your fear of weighing in. I want to teach you how to set goals that are doable, but not defeatable. I want to teach you all kinds of ways to stop letting the scale ruin or make your day. Like, I want to break the emotional tie that we have to our body. It is a great program. I cannot wait to take y'all through it next month. It's going to be amazing. All right, let's get to some questions. Let's see if we have any first. Yep. How much will the price jump if I want to upgrade from virtual to in-person? For Don't Stop Believing, but won't know until after early bird cutoff. I believe all the prices are on the website right now. So if you just go to nobswomen.com, go to the events tab. If you look on the website, all of the prices are there. So if you upgrade from virtual to in-person, you can find all that information there. If it's not on the website, just email us at support@pmptribe.com and we will make sure that, honestly, I'm not 100% sure. I made that decision 6 months ago. So just saying, I don't like always remember everything like right then. So if you email us at support though, I know that they know, but I believe it is on the website. Yesterday, I got home from a work trip. First one since joining No BS. I did my best to focus on the four baggies. First of all, Danielle, I just got to say, I just got back from a work trip. I was, if y'all were missing me last week and you were in good hands. I believe Kathy Hartman took over my calls last week, and I know y'all love you some Kathy Hartman. So that was my business trip gift to everyone in the membership. But I was out of town last week. I left on Wednesday and I did not get home until Monday. It's the longest business trip I've taken in a long time. So I'm feeling you. Like, I had to figure out how I was going to do my business trip. And, you know, I didn't know where I would be eating. I had scheduled dinners the entire time, a lot going on. All right. So let's see what you have to ask. And I'll see if you and I can have something in common. I did my best to focus on the four basics and waited a day before getting on the scale, and I'm up 2 pounds. I'm trying not to freak out. The key word is trying. Here's what I would do. I would just tell myself, of course I'm freaking out. My brain is making this 2 pounds mean probably things like, I'm not going to be able to lose weight. I'm never going to be able to travel and do this. Let me just say this. If you did your four basics, this is the important part, Danielle. It's not about is the scale up 2 pounds. It's this is where I want all of you to think about this. It's more important that when you're out of town, that you keep your brain trained to do the four basics as best as you possibly can. Because when you keep that intention, you come home with the intention of doing your four basics the best you can. The biggest mistake I see most of you make is you go on vacation, think, I can't do the basics, and you train your brain to find excuses for not being able to do the basics. And then you just fuck it, eat the entire time, or give up completely, or you half-ass them. Because it's like, there's probably opportunities where you could do the four basics, but because you're so focused on how hard it is, you make it harder for yourself at every meal you eat, at everything that you do. I always love it when people tell me, I can't plan when I'm out of town. I'm like, bitch, every hotel room has a pen, a free pen, and a notepad. You ain't got to bring your planner. You ain't got to do nothing. Most of us know how to write breakfast, lunch, and dinner on a fucking piece of paper and write down, here's what I'll eat. Here's what I won't eat. Or I promise I will wait until I'm hungrier. Or I promise I will stop halfway through, push my plate away, think about it for a minute, and decide if I'm going to eat some more. There are 1,000 decisions that we can be making if we decide we're going to make some decisions. But if you're just all focused on how fucking hard it is, guess what? It's like, I don't know how I could ever write a 24-hour plan while I'm out of town. You act like you need a feather, quill, and an inkwell in order to get it done. You don't. But y'all are so into it being hard that you create false problems. When you are focused on how can I get it done? What's the best I can do? It might not be perfect, but I still could do these things. Guess what? Y'all get a different result in life. That means if you're on vacation, you're on a business trip, you're training your brain how to, when you're at home, to do the same fucking shit. So it's about the habits. So like Danielle, who gives a shit that you're up 2 pounds? You know, the only reason why it's crazy, you're not interrupting your panic thoughts. You're not telling yourself, like, while I was on my business trip, here's what I did right. This is good patterns for me. And now that I'm back, here's what I'm going to do until I go on vacation. Like, next weekend, you're going on vacation. You're freaking out and acting as if it's going to be so hard. You're like, I need tips for vacation. No, you fucking don't. You need to be asking yourself, what am I willing to do? What are going to be the easy wins while I'm on vacation? What are some of the things that are going to be so simple for me to be like, you know, I'm not going to eat. Like, maybe it's like, let's say you're at a bachelorette party. If I was going on a bachelorette party and they're all going to be drinking like it's nobody's business, here's what would be easy for me to do. Say, I only drink wine. I'm not doing shots. I'm not doing sugary drinks. I'm not doing all that stuff. I'm going to do vodka and sodas. I'm going to do wine. If I know what time we're going to bed, I probably would tell myself, if I know that we're going to be like going out and partying until 2 a.m., I'm going to set an alarm on my phone for 12:30. And it's going to say, stop drinking, bitch, so you can go to bed. Like, there are things you can do. But your problem is you're sitting around thinking, because I'm up 2 pounds, that means this is going to go to shit. Rather than sitting there thinking, I'm up 2 pounds this week, I'm going to do my four basics. And here's the other thing. When you travel, you need to give yourself more than one day before you weigh in. All of you. I gave myself a week. I'm not weighing in until after I've been home a week. Because that gives my body plenty of time to drop the travel bloat. I'm just going to tell you, when I travel, I barely poop. It takes me about 3 days of pooping to I feel like everything has left the building that should, that did not leave the building while we were on the road. So I at least need to be able to take some glorious dumps first that feel more like Corinne. The other thing is I swell like a motherfucker when I travel. I'm in a different environment. I'm flying. I can't get in enough water, all the things. I couldn't even get my Oura Ring off the first day I got, the first day I got back. I was just like a little puffer fish. Today is the first day that I can like almost get it off. And I've been home since Monday. You just give yourself some time. These are the thoughts you're not having. I'm going to like, rather than being like, oh my God, I'm up 2 pounds. Say like, all right, I've weighed in and I'm going to give myself some time this week with my healthy habits, with my planner, drinking my water, doing the shit I know to do. And I will bet you it will all level out. You could be thinking that. So that means that when your brain wants to go to Shitsville about those 2 pounds, you've got to breathe. You got to use the four N's. I'll be teaching. I've taught it a little bit in the membership. It's officially going into the Conquering the Scale course. And if you went to Relationships Weekend, we worked on the four N's the entire time. You notice you have shitty thoughts. That's step one. That's good. You're having the shitty thoughts and you're asking questions, which is also good. Step two, normalize. That is the part you're not doing. You are not normalizing that you would have batshit crazy thoughts about being up 2 pounds. You're going straight to panic mode. You're going straight from, I notice I'm having thoughts about being up 2 pounds. So rather than calming myself down, I want Corinne to tell me what I need to do on this future trip so that I can just panic the entire time. No, we got to work on the thinking. So normalize the thoughts means all you're going to do is say like, of course my brain would freak out. If you're like me, I'm going to be 48 this year. It's like, I've had 40 years of experience, 40 years of thoughts that run through my brain that if the scale's up, it's a problem. Something's wrong with me. That means I'll screw other things up. It would be normal for those thoughts to come up. That is very different from just believing them. When you tell yourself, I can understand why this thinking's happening, you start feeling more clear and settled. That's important. Step three, you neutralize. So with normalizing, we're just saying like, of course I would think this. And here's why. I've thought this thing like 20 million times. Why would I think that when I weigh in this time that that wouldn't happen? It's always going to happen. Then neutralizing is where you go to right now. It's like the scale is up 2 pounds and you obviously have a parenthesis of that means that I'm going to get bigger and bigger because I have a vacation coming up. Panic thought. So what we want to do is just neutralize it. And you just need to tell yourself, I am up 2 pounds. I am now home. I have time with my planner. Like we just take everything down a notch. We don't say like, and I'm going on vacation, which means I'll probably gain more. We say like, and I will be going on vacation. That's it. Like you have to take all the inflammatory stuff out, which means as all of it's coming in, you piece out what's just the facts of the situation. That takes the energy out. It gets your brain to quit running off to the races with bullshit. Last is you tell yourself, the next best thought in action. Your next best thought is some of the stuff that I've said. Your next best thought can be reminding yourself of what you did right while you were on your business trip, what things worked. Your next best action could be to write down when you go on this bachelorette trip, what's my protocol going to be? How am I going to have fun and know that I'm keeping the four basics running? Because the four basics change, y'all. There's like the how I do my four basics at home is a little different than how I do it when I'm in Vegas with Chris. And that's even different than when I'm going on a business trip. So you just start looking at your life and you start thinking about, all right, when I'm on business trips, how do I roll? One of the things that I always do on a business trip is I look to see if they have a gym. I look for the pictures. That tells me whether or not, and do they have nice walking trails and stuff? That allows me to like figure out, What's my movement pattern going to be each day? Movement's important for me. I love my walking. When I'm out of town, I still like to move my body. It helps me think I'm still in some kind of routine. Because one of the things that really is hard for me when I'm out of town emotionally is being out of routine. You know, like I tend to miss the boys more when I don't have if I'm not honoring my routine, the next thing I know, I am incredibly homesick. And all I'm doing is thinking, like counting down the moments. When can I go home? When can I go home? And I don't want to spend my trips, especially like this past trip. Y'all, I don't really talk about a lot of my personal stuff. Well, that's a lie. I talk a lot of personal stuff, but I don't talk a lot about my personal stuff just when it comes to business. Like I do try to help people and stuff, but I just feel like, I don't know. I just don't put a lot of it out there. I'm not one to, I don't know, brag or whatever. So this past trip, I was at my mastermind. And my mastermind is a yearly conference of all the life coaches where I got certified. And we come together and I was a speaker. I was the last speaker of the day on Thursday. And it was a huge honor for me. And it was in front of 1,600 people. I've never talked in front of a crowd that big. And that day they had also asked me if I would introduce a group of people who were getting Master Coach certified, because I had worked with them. And if I would say something, because I made a very special connection to this particular class. So I get up there and do like I normally do, immediately start bawling. I'm looking at their little faces and I am just a crying because I'm so proud of them. And then I get up there and I do my speech. And the next day, I'm the number one life coach there. There's 1,600 just in the room, not including how many people are there. And I just want y'all to know, like, we're the number one. Everybody is just like, this no BS is special. So I get my little award and stuff. But when I'm at things like that, where I'm there to develop myself and, you know, celebrate myself and stuff, and, you know, like embrace a big honor, it's important for me to keep routines, because otherwise in these moments that matter in my life, I'm wanting to be somewhere else. I'm thinking about how I just want to get home. And that cheats us. So like for all of you, when you're on vacations, when you're on business trips, I want y'all to fully enjoy those experiences and staying with some of your health. And this is what I really mean. I want you to learn how to enjoy these experiences while also knowing that you're keeping your goals with you in such a way that it makes your vacations and your business trips and stuff better and more special, and where you come home and you're not regretting. One of the worst things that we do to ourselves is think we can't do our basics and just say, fuck it, I'm just going to have a good time. And we're not really having a good time. What we're doing is we're eating our face off so we don't have to feel other things. And then we go home, and the only thing we remember about the trip, we don't remember all the food. We remember our goals. And then we are crushed under the weight of regret and wishing we had made different choices. This is why I created the four basics. I want them to be able to go with you everywhere you go. And they are basics that you can take everywhere you go. Even if you don't know what you are going to eat, you still can write down what you will and will not think about, when you will take pauses, certain foods that maybe you don't eat. Like for me, if I'm drinking, I don't eat dessert. I've had this rule for a long time. If I'm drinking, I don't do desserts. If I'm going to do dessert, I don't drink. It's just me putting myself in a really good position to make a choice for what I truly would want the most in the moment. And so I just share that with you because for me, when I'm out of town, when I have my routine and I think about still being that version of me that takes care of myself, I show up more fully for the experience that I'm having. And I'm not sitting there just wanting to go back home, worrying I'm going to gain weight, fearing everything, and eventually just fuck it, eating all the way through it. Right. Long answer to Danielle's question. Hopefully that was helpful. You talk about chair yoga, and I have drop foot and balance issues and would love to try this out. What app would you recommend? I don't have an app for chair yoga, but Michelle, if you go to YouTube, there are a lot of really good chair yoga videos there. I would just look it up. I will guarantee you will find plenty of free ones on YouTube. I'm still adjusting to a major change in my life. I have found myself moving further away from the things I used to do that care for my body. The small things at times feel overwhelming and I talk myself out of doing them. As someone who was a self-described all-in no BSer, I'm also experiencing some shame around not being where I used to be. What's one small step to get me in the direction I want to go? First of all, who gives a shit if you're not where you used to be? You don't need to give a shit about that. Like, your brain naturally is going to want to offer that because brains like to compare. They're always trying to anchor themselves. I would start saying, like, every time I would use the trigger of like, well, you know, I used to be doing all these things. I would just say like, you know what? What am I going to do today that takes me one tiny step closer to that? That is a good question to be asking yourself. And this is the thing. We all go through periods where our four basics get out of whack. I have had those periods. I will always have those periods. I continue to have those periods. I just literally reset myself the other day with the planner. Like, I kind of got a little lazy about doing it. I was like, I noticed I was just half-assed doing some stuff. It's like kind of making plans, not really assessing, skipping questions I didn't want to answer and all the stuff. Like, I would say I was a half-asser for a little bit. And I just decided, hey, the vacation season's coming. I'm going to be out of town a lot. Don't worry, I'm not leaving y'all. I'm bringing y'all on the road with me, but I'm going to have some days where I'm like doing stuff. And now is the time to go all in on my planner, to go all in on my routines. And that was just a decision. I just decided not to beat myself up for, you know, being in half-ass mode for a little while. I decided to be proud that I noticed. I spent years of my life not noticing when I was off track. That would be like years before I would notice that I was off track. Now, I am so proud to be the kind of person that when she notices she's not caring for herself in the ways that she'd like to, that she pays attention and starts figuring out what she will do for herself. I think that's all you need to do. And the small things are only feeling overwhelming because you keep thinking about where you used to be. That is the only reason why it feels overwhelming. You just need to look at the small things and be proud of yourself for saying, hey, I recognize in this moment that I'm not doing some of these things that one time I was doing. I call that smart. I call that loving. That's attentive. Now you just want to talk to yourself. I'm going to tell all of you, one of the things that I learned at my mastermind, I got to figure out how I'm going to officially teach this, but I am going to officially teach it. But one of the things that one of my dear friends, Rachel Hart, she has the Take a Break podcast. It's around drinking. So anybody who drinks, I would advise listening to Rachel. She is like the clean mouth version of me on a podcast for drinking. She was teaching a class at our mastermind and where she talked about so many of us, and this is all of us. We don't even realize how we talk to ourselves at times. There's the obvious talking to yourself like an asshole. Like, it's just like self-loathing, terrible, blah, 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 blah. But there's a lot of times where we're talking to ourselves in a way that's just not great, but we don't even realize that it's half-ass. Like if somebody, if you were to say, I did my 24-hour plan and you're like, yeah, but you know, I don't know how that's going to shake out on the scale this week. Using yeah, but it's like, I look good in this outfit, but I still got a few more pounds to lose and then it'll look better. These are the little things that we do to ourselves and we say to ourselves that end up hosing us in the long run. And so I'm going to teach a class on imposter syndrome. She's given me her slide so I can teach it to all of you because it was amazing. But here's the one thing that she did that really helped. And I don't, y'all can't really see it, but over, let me show y'all. Over, oh, do you see at the side of my, well, y'all see my lines and stuff, but see up there, I've got like my life coach cert. All right, I've taken this down. Let's make sure I get it back on here. I got my certificate when I first came through life coach school, and I have these pictures of myself. My, the person who helped me decorate my office, she said, you really should have some pictures of you. She was like, look at those on days when you don't feel like a success and just look at them at like how far you've come. I was like, okay, I'm going to make my little wall. Well, Rachel now has pictures of her little girl self and she has them on her computer. And anytime she's working and she's thinking some bullshit, she looks at that little girl and she's like, would I say that to her face? Would I ever say that to her? And I think a lot of us need to do that. I would challenge some of you to put a picture of you, paperclip it inside your planner. And every day, move that picture of you over and write that plan for her. I'm doing a lot of work and study right now on all of the inner child stuff. And I know that most of us, whether you believe in this shit or not, I just want you to have an open mind. We all have a child version that lives inside of our brain. That is why so many of us say the things we do and think the ways we do. That version of you got told a lot of stuff. That version of you was treated certain ways. Some of us were bullied. Some of us were, our parents pushed us really hard. Some of our moms put us on diets for fear that we would never be able to have a good life if we were overweight. We just had so much stuff go on. And as adults, what we do is we talk to ourselves internally how that little girl interpreted the world and what the world was telling her. And so she just said it has been so transformational for her because there are days when she's hard on herself and she looks at that picture of little Rachel and she's like, what does little Rachel need to hear right now? Because it ain't this, because I would never say that to her. And I think a lot of you need to make your plans that way. I think a lot of you need to have that version of you that's a kid who just wants to be accepted and loved, encouraged, wants to know people believe in them, wants to fit in so bad, wants to be proud of themselves, but doesn't know how to be proud because, you know, as a kid, you look outside of yourself to figure out if you're doing things right. Problem is, as adults, we don't break that habit. I think it would be very beneficial. I think sometimes when you're journaling, you have that picture of you right there with you so that you tell yourself like what you're thinking. And then you look at her and be like, and what do we need to hear most right now? This is some of the most important work we can really do. So some of y'all try that and y'all let me know in the Facebook group. If you do, tag me, tell me how it's going. I would love to know. I had gastric sleeve surgery. My nutritionist has advised me to count grams of protein. I'm finding it difficult to manage this diet thinking and not have it spread to calories, et cetera. Do you have an opinion on the importance of counting grams of protein? I would listen to your nutritionist. I don't think there's anything wrong with counting your grams of protein. You feeling weird about it is coming from your thoughts of like, now I should count everything. This is just where you need to neutralize it and be like, nope, don't need to count everything. Only need to count grams of protein. And understand why you need to count grams of protein. It's no different than like, if I was diagnosed with diabetes, you better bet your ass that I'd be counting sugar grams. You know why? I would be telling myself, I need to know this information in order to feel my best, in order to heal my body, in order to work with my body at the state that it is in now. But I would be telling myself that I wouldn't be putting diet thinking on it. Counting proteins, counting carbs, things you eat, whatever, y'all, that's not diet thinking. That's the do line of the think, feel, do cycle. That's just what you're doing. What makes it diet thinking is that you're doing it from a diet type thought. Like if you're saying the only way I can lose weight is to be carb free. And then on your do line is cut out all carbs. That's diet thinking. Now, if your thought was, I've been eating certain carbs and noticed I break out in rosacea, just like me and red wine. I don't drink red wine. I don't call that restriction, deprivation. Red wine makes me break out in not only ocular rosacea, which is in your eyes, but also face rosacea. I get a wicked headache the next day. I can drink one glass. It'll make my face vomit. I don't think about it being restrictive and depriving. I don't think like I can't have red wine. Everybody else could drink red wine, not me, blah, 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 blah. And you can insert anything in there. I just think like, my body doesn't react well to this. And I want to feel good. In order to feel good physically, I'm willing to not have this. That's when you bridge from like crap ass thinking and diet thinking to trusting your body type thinking. I signed up for DSB, but I'm having severe back pain and I'm just barely doing my physical therapy prescribed exercises. How can I still be a part of DSB? Bonnie, you're already doing it. Number one, you've signed up for it. Number two, you're doing your physical therapy exercises. That's your baseline right now. That's the best thing you can be doing for yourself. And here's the thing, y'all, DSB, everybody who signs up is getting a medal, no matter what. You all gonna get a medal. You all gonna get the pride and the glory if you choose to think thoughts that give you pride and glory. If you sign up for DSB and you're having back problems, I would much rather see you doing your physical therapy work. And then when your physical therapist says, let's try some walking, you start with what you can do and you build up to where you can go. What? That's important. That's the whole point of don't stop believing, is to not stop believing in your ability to do more than you think. It's not about who all actually does an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. I guarantee you, for all of you that come in person, so everybody that comes in person will get a finish line photo with me. My photographer's coming. We're getting a little late. Step and repeat wall for all of you. And I will be standing there ready to hug your sweaty ass, cry with you, whatever you need to do. We're going to do it. And we're going to get a photo capturing the moment. Here's what's not going to happen. I'm not going to be like, now tell me, did you do your full hour? Make sure you show me your watch, because I'm not giving a picture away to anybody who didn't do that. This is the thing. It's about your honor system. What do you want to honor? Do you want to honor the paper? Or do you want to honor your commitment? You want to honor that you're going to figure out a way to make this work for you? Do you want to honor that you're willing to override the part of your brain that thinks you can't do it and say like, fuck you. Let me show you what I can do. I can go to physical therapy. I can do every damn thing they tell me to do. I can, maybe my finish line is my back feels hella better by the end of this. And that's what that medal is going to be all about. That I showed up in a way I could show up and I didn't quit because of shitty ass thoughts, because of some bullshit my brain made up. Maybe that's your finish line. What would be your best input for someone, me, who says fuck it a lot in the early mornings of a binge? I have observed that I make a snack into a fuck it moment very quickly. I am eager to shift from a self-sabotager into a detective and badass artist. I'm aware and I want to get better. Thank you. So this is what I would do, Deb. This is a great question. Number one, I just want to make sure that you're taking the Trusting Your Body course this month. We're doing a big deep dive. So if you are like, I am with Deb, like, this is kind of like me, I want to figure this out, I would do Trusting Your Body this month since we're doing it. When we're done, I would re-listen to module 3 of No BS. That is all the overeating course. And I would do the worksheets accordingly. Then I would do Urges 2.0. So I would do those back to back and stack them. Just like what we do in Peloton, we have stackers or whatever they're called. I would stack those programs so that for the next, you know, foreseeable future, you are doubling down on the one thing you want to accomplish, which is, I know that I tend to snack in the morning and that leads to a binge and I go into fuck it mode. So I want to put all my energy and effort into studying this problem, paying attention to what's going on when I do it. And then maybe what you do is you create a few little like roadblocks. So if you know that, observe that I make a snack into a fuck it moment very quickly, maybe what you do is you have a plan where on 3 days a week, you plan binges. If you've never done a planned binge, they're amazing because they really help you like slow down and binge intentionally. And when you binge intentionally, it's not like when you go on autopilot. A lot of people are like, oh, how would I ever lose weight doing that? You lose weight doing that by teaching yourself what it's really like when you're going through it, so that in the future, you're able to slow them down or stop them sooner and sooner and sooner. It doesn't mean like in the next couple of weeks, you lose a lot of weight, but long term, you lose the weight of the binge having so much power and control over you. You lose the weight of the binge being so autopilot to where it's like, once you start, it just like knocks all the dominoes down. So I would consider maybe like you say like on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm going to do a planned binge, which means I will, what I normally do for a binge, I will get all of that food out ahead of time. And instead of just kind of grazing and eating, I'm going to put it all out on my kitchen table and I'm going to sit with it. And I'm going to eat, but I'm going to eat with a piece of paper. And I'm going to tell myself, what am I actually thinking when this is happening? You will have a lot of judgment thoughts. You will tell yourself you shouldn't be eating. It probably will get to where it's so uncomfortable, but the goal will be like, all right, I can have all this food if I want it, but I have to stay engaged with what I'm thinking. I cannot turn that part off. That's the first way that, like, you're no longer, now you're not fuck it eating. That's the difference. So like the first thing is like, all right, I'm going to give myself permission, but I have to keep intentional the entire time. So now I'm breaking fuck it eating, but I am turning up the volume of my thoughts and judgment and all this other stuff, which we want to do. And then you can, when you're done, that's information you can take like the next day and be like, let me read what I wrote. And then let me think about, like, is this the kind of stuff I want to believe? What else could be true? You can break things down that way. But just to recap, finish Trusting Your Body this month. Next, go to module 3 of No BS. Repeat that module. That is the overeating module. Do all of the worksheets there. Then start Urges 2.0 and also do all of the worksheets there. This means You will also be doing your 24-hour plan. A lot of you are doing this. I'm listening, I'm doing worksheets, but I'm not doing the planner. Y'all, the planner has to get done. Got to be doing the planner. I don't care if you don't do all of the planner just yet, but at least make a 24-hour plan each day. Get used to the idea that I will decide ahead of time what I want to eat, and I'm going to learn how to follow that over time. And I will learn how to follow it over time by doing simple things like noticing foods that I wish I had planned so I can get better at planning them more often and getting past my fear that I can't eat them. So I want you guys to be doing that too. How do I get unstuck from everything? Not doing plans, not exercising enough, and on and on and on. The best way to get unstuck is not to think about everything you need to do. The best way to get unstuck is to unstick one thing. Teach your brain that you can start doing this one thing and you put everything else aside. I promise you, this is how the world works. So if you want to get unstuck, you pick one thing. I would pick doing plans. I'd get to making plans. I would commit. I'm going to make a plan each day. And this is the one thing I'm going to make myself do. I don't care if I don't want to. I don't care if I gnash my teeth. I don't care if I think it won't work. I don't care if I'm overwhelmed. I don't care. You need to tell yourself, I don't care about all that. I know all that's going to come up. I'm not going to want to do it. I'm for sure going to tell myself it's not enough. I should be doing this. And you're going to be like, you know what? All that's going to happen. And I'm still going to make a plan. It's no different than if a kid walks in is like, but I've got sports and, you know, Jimmy wants to play and the cat needs to be fed and blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm just not doing all the things. So I'm going to do none of the things. I'm not going to do homework. I'm not going to go to school. I'm not going to go to sports practice. This is what y'all do all the time. Y'all act like a kid as if you got a choice. You ain't got a choice. You need to tell yourself, you ain't got a choice. You just pretend like you do. You pretend like all of your excuses and shit are real and as if they matter, but they don't. If your kid comes up to you and says, like, I just don't want to, I'm not doing good enough in life, so I'm no longer going to school, I'm not going to do all these things, you'd be like, look, asshole, get up. We're not doing that. Are you kidding me? You would never let your kid act that way. We make our kids go to school all the time when they don't want to. They sit down and do homework all the time when they don't want to. And as a parent, you know what your thought is? Doesn't matter if they want to, this is good for them. One of these days, they'll appreciate it. If they just get started, they'd realize they'd realize how quickly this could be done. Whatever thoughts y'all are using on them precious babies, and when you're sitting there judging like, yeah, they're just making my life miserable with all their whining. Why don't they just get over this shit? Rah, rah, rah. What is amazing to me is y'all are so above it all when it comes to your 10-year-olds and your 14-year-olds. Then when it comes to you and your 40s, it's like, oh, Corinne, this is all real. My whining, my bullshit, oh, it matters. But let me just tell you one more reason. It's like, well, I know you just debunked half of it, but I got another thing in my little bag of tricks over here that will justify me being overwhelmed and saying I can't do it. It's bullshit. If you call bullshit on a teenager, be willing to call bullshit on me. That's all it takes to do stuff, y'all, is to notice when you're doing some bullshit thinking and just like, that's a no. I guarantee you, I love all of you, every single one of you, promise. This afternoon, you know what I want to do? Nothing. I got 3 scripts to write, 2 more scripts to clean up. I got y'all's newsletter to proofread. I got 2 podcasts to do. And I got to do some Don't Stop Believing Quickfire podcasts today. Does this look like the face of thrill Do I look like I am just like, woo, rainbows and daisies? You know what I want to do? I want to go upstairs, lay in bed, and I want to watch some TV. I ain't had a day off in a hot minute. But guess what? Telling myself some bullshit, Corinne. Wait, we got projects to finish. You got women. I tell myself, you got women waiting on this course. Like, it doesn't matter if you don't want to. Of course you don't want to. Who wants to do a full day's worth of work? Said no one fucking ever. I just tell myself very often, a lot of times, what I want to do doesn't really matter. That's just called normal human lack of motivation. But then I just remind myself, but I'm willing to. I'll get it done. When I'm done, I'll feel better. That doesn't mean that I'm just like, yes, I'm, you know, like now I'm excited and highly motivated. What I am is willing. Most of our life, we are going to live in the neutral range. You're not going to go and just do it all and be excited. But if we could just get but out of needing to be megawatt excited or totally against it and like upset about it and just come to the middle, we get so much more done. All right, everybody. That's it for today. Somebody was like, why don't I go and sit by the pool and do it? Well, let me just say, it is, we're going to get tornadoes today, hail, and all kinds of lovely weather. Welcome spring in Tennessee. Tennessee is the real deal when it comes to spring. It is like Mother Nature is on her period for about 8 weeks, and she's on day one and cloudy today. So we're going to just sit and we're going to sit. I will say this. This is one of the ways that I do like make myself do my work. I think about what can I do to make it easy on myself. So like today, I'm getting ready to burn the last of my beautiful grapefruit candle. I've got my windows open so that I've got that. I will play the Game of Thrones so that I have that music really cues me. I am going to set myself up with as many environmental cues as possible that puts me into work mode. That is one thing that I do. I always sit in the same chair in the mornings when I do my planner. Sitting in that chair with a cup of coffee triggers my brain to want to just do it because it's so used to that pattern. So I think for a lot of you, when it comes to not wanting to do things, if you will figure out ways that you can make it easier to kind of just drop into action, that's always helpful. All right. Y'all have a good one. I will see you this Sunday for all kinds of stuff. We're doing coaching. I think Queen's Club is this Sunday. Glad to be back with y'all. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.